Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into it tonight. Could we please? And what I want to do here, the first 5 minutes or so, is just kind of review and get us all on the same page, because I realize there are some people here tonight that weren't here last night. And we started a message last night. And, well, actually, we started a message Monday night, didn't we? And tonight we're going to kind of finish up. But we're looking at a passage called 2 Peter chapter 1. If you want to turn there, that would be great. 2 Peter chapter 1. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to just think about something, if you would, please. If I had the opportunity of getting my feet under your table, I sat down to have a meal with you, maybe you and your husband, maybe you and your wife, maybe just you, and I had the opportunity of just talking with you, what kind of subject matter, and I know every one of you have something, what kind of subject matter could I bring up that would just put air in your sails, wind under your wings? Oh my, you've got all kinds of opinions about that subject matter. Perhaps for some of you it could be money, and how to make it, and how to invest, and real estate. For some of you, perhaps it's fashion. For some of you, it might be sports. For some of you, it could just be a myriad of things. But we've all got our little hobbies. We've all got our interests. And I'm just wondering, what could I bring up that, oh, that subject matter stirs you? For instance, let me give you an example. What kind of reaction would you have if I was sitting at your table and I brought up the name Hillary Clinton? Oh, I've got some opinions about that. Is she going to be our next president? You know, and I'm sure you've got some thoughts on that. What if I brought up Barack Obama? You know, the Bible does tell us that we're supposed to be praying for him daily for his salvation. That is a command Paul gave us. But there are all kinds of issues that we could maybe if I brought up Washington Redskins. Oh, man, I got some things I'd like to say about that. And we're all like that. Folks, let me tell you something about you. You are made to be stirrable. Every one of you. In fact, I saw a father and his son come into this service tonight wearing matching jackets that have UK on the back. How sick is that? But we're all stirrable. Oh, people, every one of you, God made you that way. Every one of you have buttons that when pressed, oh yeah, I get stirred about that. And my friends, I want us to understand tonight that that's exactly how God wants you to be towards His Word. Let me prove my point. Are you open there to 2 Peter chapter 1? Would you look down, please, at verse number 12? 2 Peter chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, please, at verse number 12. Peter says this in verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this body, this tabernacle, to... Please say the next word out loud. Stir you up. Folks, why does God want you stirred? Oh, by the way, look at chapter 3. Just hold your finger here and just turn it one page if you have to. And look at chapter 3 and verse number 1. Look what Peter says again. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. Here's the whole purpose of the letter, people. To both, in both which I stir up your pure or your saved minds. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you stirred. Why? Have you ever seen anybody stirred? Have you ever been to a ball game and the people that are going to it are kind of excited to be there? What are they like? Oh, they're full of energy. They're full of life. And ladies and gentlemen, let's make sure we understand tonight that a stirred person does stuff. They are ready to get it on. They love what they're about to do. They're very much into it. They're very mentally involved. When's the last time, Christian, you came to church like that? God wants you to be stirred. He wants His Word every time it's open. He wants His Word, congregation, to stir you. That's His goal. And so I want to just challenge you ladies, and I want to challenge you men tonight. Folks, we're not just looking at ho-hum material. We're looking at stuff that God is expecting will stir you if you're a real Christian. Let it stir you. Let it work in your mind, and it's going to cause thoughts, and it's going to cause an energy. It's going to cause a motivation that you're going to walk out of here and say, man, I need to do that. I want to do that. My heart is stirred. That is the goal of your Savior tonight, even you young people. May that happen. But what does Peter give us that he wants us all stirred about there in verse number 12? Well, it all starts, folks, in verse number 5. And remember what verse number 5 said. He said, and beside this, because you are gifted, and beside this, giving all diligence, add, which means to course together, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Now, could I please get my three statues up here? And they know who I'm talking about. And if you were not here last night, I will help you understand what's about to go on. I have here Corey, and I have, right, Corey? Yeah. And I've got Andrew, and I've got Mark. By the way, Mark is an excellent piano player, people. What a great job. I would really appreciate it if you give him a little extra stipend in his paycheck this week for all the work that he has done. But folks, remember what we're doing here tonight. Every time Mike Schrock comes over to this area, I am representing you, and I'm representing me before we were saved. The Bible says that everybody who's unsaved is blind and dead spiritually. I don't know how it happened in your life or if it even has happened yet. You don't know how it happened in my life, but somehow the Spirit of God got on there and boop, opened my eyes and got me to see my need of a Savior and saved me because I asked Him to. And from that moment on, every one of you that are Christians, you are constantly in every avenue, every area, every arena of your life. You are constantly adding to your faith. And every time this massive hand touches that massive chest, I would like you to say, virtue. And what does virtue mean? Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Folks, I cannot preach this hard enough. It all starts with your head, lady. It all starts with your mind, sir. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Let this mind... Now, folks, it's all about your mind. If you're not stirred, if it's been a long time, I'll tell you why. It's your head. You've got a head problem. So it all starts with my making up my mind. I'm going to do right. Then and only then am I ready to go to the second melody, because these melodies are what we call sequential. I'm ready now to go to the second melody, which is knowledge. Knowledge is what you know about the Bible. And I'm going to say something very heretical that I said Monday night. If you don't make up your mind like that young Daniel, if you don't make up your mind, I'm going to do right. Folks, the Bible is useless. The Bible is useless. That's why we've got so many graduates from our Christian schools, our Christian colleges. Oh, they've got just tons and tons of Bible knowledge. But they're not living it. Because they never made up their mind. Are you aware of the fact that Jessica Simpson, and I know we're dating ourselves a little bit here, but Jessica Simpson, who's an absolute tramp, went to a Christian school. Are you aware that Britney Spears went to a Christian school? Folks, you cannot get any more ungodly than those two little tramps. It's amazing. They know about the Bible. They've got all sorts of this guy right here. They just don't have that guy right there. This guy right here is useless without that guy right there. So, I had... That's why I like to have guys up here. If I had a girl up here, that just would not be appropriate. So as a Christian, I'm constantly adding to my faith virtue. I make up my mind. Then once I made up my mind, I add to it knowledge. This guy's hard. There's stuff in there that's really hard to do. And so I'm going to have to add temperance, which means get a grip. Get a grip on your passions. Get a grip on your appetite. Get a grip on your flesh. Girls, just because it's popular doesn't mean you have to do it. Guys, just because the world's into it doesn't mean you have to do it. There's stuff, folks. There's stuff because of that guy right there. There's stuff that you've got to say, no. No. Yeah, all my friends are doing that. Yeah, everybody out there, it's big time popular. But not me. As for me and my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's this guy right here. Well, folks, so let's review. Your turn. Here I am. I'm you. I get saved. Boop! From that moment on, whether I've been saved for a week or a year or 100 years, I'm constantly adding to my faith. Ready?
Virtue.
Make up your mind. I add to virtue.
Knowledge.
Stay hungry. You're not there yet. I add to knowledge. Get a grip. Now, I want to share with you something about these three guys. And I'm going to let them sit down here in just a second. In fact, go ahead and sit down. You can sit on the steps there. I'm going to preach for a while. But behave yourselves. No talking. Okay. I was in California a couple of years ago. And I was preaching this message. And a young man, a young newlywed, came up to me afterwards and said, "Brother Mike, I've got a perfect illustration I thought of as you were preaching. And folks, it is absolutely perfect about what's going on here." Let me tell you what happens in California. I think you'll get a kick out of this. This guy, this newlywed, had for years been a health club manager. And he said, "Mike, in the Los Angeles area, there's a phenomenon that goes on that all the health clubs kind of laugh about." He said, "Every December, we have all these soccer moms, young mothers, who make up their mind, 'Hey, starting January the 1st, I'm going to start losing 15 pounds. They resolve. They make up their mind. Then they get a little bit of knowledge and they realize that, hey, in order to lose 15 pounds, I'm probably going to need more than just walk. I need a little bit more strenuous cardiovascular activity. And so they join a health club in December that starts on January the 1st. They buy a 6 month, you can't buy anything shorter than a 6 month membership. They pay buku bucks for the 6 month membership there in Los Angeles. And then January the 2nd rolls around, the day after New Year's Day. At 5:30 in the morning, this soccer mom gets up. She gets a grip on her schedule. She exercises some discipline. That's what he's all about. She gets up at 5:30 in the morning, an hour before the family. She gets into her SUV. Every soccer mom in California drives an SUV. She gets in her SUV and she goes down to the local health club where she has just purchased a membership. She gets with her personal trainer and she gets on an exercise machine. She gets on the treadmill. She gets on the Nautilus machine. She gets on the Stairmaster, whatever! And she starts working out. And something happens that disgusts her. She starts to sweat. And she says in her little soccer mom mind, "I don't like this. This is not very fun. This is hard work." But she does her half hour, 45 minute workout. She puts on her little pink sweatsuit, goes home, takes a quick shower, and then gets up the family for the rest of the day. January the 3rd. There she is, 5:30 in the morning, hopping into her SUV, going down to the health club, and it happens again. She starts sweating, and she says, "Boy, I really don't like this." That health club manager, ladies and gentlemen, told me that the typical membership of a California soccer mom, 3 weeks. Even though she has a 6 month membership, the typical membership lasts 3 weeks, and she quits. Folks, what a picture of Christianity. Some of you haven't passed out a track in years because you got embarrassed. Or because somebody said something. I mean, you were starting to exercise for the Lord. You were starting to do something. You had made up your mind, "I'm going to have a testimony." The Bible tells you you need to have a testimony. You got a grip on your attitude. You got a grip on your pride. And you started working out for the Lord. And something happened and you quit. How ungodly. So you'll find this interesting, gentlemen and ladies. Guess what melody number 4 is? Who should I get, Mark?
Jeff.
Jeff, I told you last night not to get comfortable. I told you.
Jeff said, "Oh no, I've talked them out of it. They won't pick me."
All right, Jeff, would you stand right here? Would you? You guys stand up too, would you please? Guess what melody number 4 is? Patience. Patience. People, the word patience, in an old Elizabethan language usage, means endurance, strength. strength. Don't give up. Keep going. It's godly. But you're going to be so tempted because this guy is hard. And that's awfully demanding. And that's really hard to do. And you're going to want to quit. In fact, the world is going to pressure you to quit. And God said, no. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on, like one great evangelist used to say. Don't quit. It's ungodly to quit. It's all about endurance. Are you still a soul winner when you're in your 60s? Are you still the greatest soul, some people, the greatest soul winner I've ever seen? And I've been around tons of pastors. The greatest soul winner I've ever seen is 84 years old. He's my father-in-law. Just amazing soul winner. Folks, it's all about, come on, keep on keeping on. Do right till the stars fall, one great evangelist used to say. They haven't fallen yet. Keep going. Okay, so here we are. Here we are. I'm you. I'm saved from that moment on. Even though I'm a teenager, even though I'm retired, even though I'm somewhere in between, I'm constantly adding in every area of my life. I'm adding to my faith.
Virtue.
Make up your mind. That was kind of weak, church. I add to virtue.
Knowledge.
Stay hungry. I add to knowledge.
Virtue.
Get a grip on your appetite. I want to quit, so I'm going to add to temperance.
Virtue.
Patience. Don't quit. Don't quit. Okay, now. Brother Jeff, who should I get?
Beth.
Beth. For the sake of your marriage,
sure.
You might want to choose somebody else.
Jerry.
Where's Jerry? Jerry. Oh, UK Jerry. All right. Would you take your coat off first before coming up here? I'm teasing. Jerry, I want you to stand over here. I want to put some distance between you and patience, and there's a reason for that, folks. Whether or not this is going on in your life, the rest of us aren't sure. In fact, let me be really honest with you. You're not positive this is going on in your pastor's life. His wife might have a good idea, but you don't. Your pastor's not sure this is going on in his deacons' lives. This is all kind of very personal. Very much, I'm in control. This guy right here is the first outward manifestation. He's a direct product of that. And this is the first melody that the rest of us see. This melody here is called godliness. Don't let that word scare you. Gentlemen, you can sit down. Let me tell you about godliness. Godliness, the word Yesubia here, the Greek word, just means this, folks. Children look like their parents. That's exactly what that word means. Children look like their parents. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. My friends, if you're really saved, it's going to look like it. This guy right here is referring to your testimony, the way you live. We've got a great bracelet, a great bumper sticker that beautifully describes this melody right here. WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's that guy right there. It's talking about your testimony in your prayer today. Those of you that remember to pray, we asked it. You pray about the lighthouse effect of Hanover Baptist Church, these beams of light that go out. You, we're talking about your testimony. And folks, this melody right here is talking about the fact that you have a life that looks like God. Can I just remind you, children of God, that God does not have eyes and a nose and a mouth and a physical, corporal body like you do. He's not limited to that. He's a spirit. How do you look like God? Folks, you look like God on the inside. Your character, your testimony, the choices you make, the way you live, that's how you look like God. And so there's a conscious decision in your life. It's a direct product of this. If that's going on in your life, Christian, oh, you're going to want to do that, guy. I want him, please. I want him crowned by my life. We call that godliness. So, gentlemen, stand please. So, here I am. I'm you. Boop! I get saved. From that moment on, I'm adding to my faith.
Virtue.
Make up your mind. I add to virtue.
Knowledge.
Stay hungry. I add to knowledge.
Temperance.
Get a grip. I add to temperance.
Patience.
Do right. Don't quit. I had the patience. I want to look like you. I want to look like you. Okay. You guys can sit down. Who should I get?
Daryl.
Daryl, come up here. Daryl, would you please? I thought Daryl was in the nursery. What are you doing here? Nope, no, no. You're free. Well, congratulations. You can sit down, too, if you like godliness. If you would just stand right here next to godliness, that would be great. Daryl, thank you for doing this. I know you didn't have a choice, but thank you. Let me tell you what this guy's all about here, folks. The King James Bible uses the term brotherly kindness. Remember that, because you're going to say it all together here in just a few minutes. Brotherly kindness. We have a Pennsylvania city named after the Greek word used for brotherly kindness in your King James Bible. That city is called Philadelphia. Now, folks, let me help you. Philadelphia refers to itself as the city of brotherly love. That is an error. In more ways than one. I've been there, by the way. They don't love you. But Philadelphia really means, Christians, really means it has nothing to do with love. Brotherly kindness is the better translation. What it means is to be friends, to be friendly to brothers. Now, folks, would you think about that for a moment here tonight? Who's your brother? Who are your sisters? Who are your brothers? Well, that's an easy question to answer. Other Christians. Oh, folks, this is rich. Stay with me. This guy right here is referring to the way that you people treat each other. This has nothing to do with the unsaved. The next melody will do that. This guy right here is all about the way we treat each other. Let me camp here for a few minutes. Very rarely do you hear this preached. And by the way, let me just say something about these melodies. Your pastor could easily preach a month on each one. We're just scratching the surface. But brotherly kindness, folks, let me tell you how significant this is. Jesus himself said it would be better if you commit suicide than to offend one of my children. What I want to do here tonight is I want to paint a scenario. I want to paint an illustration where I am absolutely borrowing from the Apostle Paul. I'm going to put together an illustration that comes out of Romans 14, married to 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said that you may go out soul winning with a brand new Christian convert. I mean, they just got saved. The idea there that Paul seems to be implying is that we're to go out in twos. But you go out with this brand new Christian brother. And folks, you go to somebody's house and they sit you down and they feed you. Now, you need to understand something. The European culture, the Middle Eastern culture, is way different than ours. Very rarely would somebody in the New Testament era eat meat. Very rarely. They would always save that for special occasions. And whenever they would get a guest at their house, that was a very special occasion. They are very, to this day, aggressive about being really good hosts and hostesses. Let me give you an illustration. Years ago, I was in Germany. I was there on a musical group from Bob Jones. And it was a ministry team. I could tell you all about it back in the 70s. And we were touring Germany for 5 weeks. And we were playing. It was a brass quartet. And we were doing concerts at all the American Army bases all over Germany. But we went to Augsburg. And we did a service in one of the local Baptist churches, and a very, very friendly English-speaking German lady said to our group, "Could I give you guys a tour of my city tomorrow?" "Oh, yes, ma'am, we would love that." So early the next morning, our entire group got up, and we met this lady downtown somewhere, and she started giving us a tour of this literally 700-800-year-old city. And she was walking around. It was very crowded. It was just, we were having so much fun. And we were walking down a sidewalk, and I spotted an ice cream shop. German ice cream. I kind of snuck away just for a moment. I went over there, and I bought myself an ice cream cone. Coconut. I love coconut. I got back into the group, and I was walking along, sucking on my ice cream cone. And that German lady turned around and saw me with that ice cream cone. Folks, I'm not exaggerating. She walked right up to me and got into my face and said, "Michael, where did you get that?" I was kind of, "Well, Mom." "Oh, I just bought it." And this is exactly what she did. I offended her because I bought my own ice cream cone. That is so European. That is so Middle East. And so Paul said, listen, you go over to somebody's house, they are immediately big time aggressive about being the right kind of host and hostess. And they always put on their best for you. And Paul said, you might be sitting at their kitchen table and they put in front of you, this is exactly what Paul says, they put in front of you a nice big slab of ribeye steak. You're going, "Oh, yeah, baby, yeah." And they walk out of the room and you hear this. It's your brand new Christian convert brother. I know where they got this meat. This is meat that's been offered to idols. Well, people, time out. Time out. Oh, the entire city was into idolatry. And one of the ways that you would worship the idol is you would bring meat. You would bring meat to the priests and the priestesses. And those priests and priestesses would always have way more meat than they could ever consume. And so they sold it at the idolatry market at wholesale. It was like the Costco of the New Testament world. You got your best deal on the meat at the idolatry market. You know what Paul said to do? Paul said, listen, if you have meat that you know has been offered to idols, who cares? It's just meat. Eat it. Eat it. Don't worry about it. However, right sitting next to you is a brand new in the Lord brother. And if you eat that meat, are you listening to me, Americans? If you eat that meat, you're going to offend that brand new Christian brother. Their theology is not strong enough yet to handle that. By your liberty, you may send them back into that system. However, if you don't eat the meat, you're going to offend this person you're trying to reach for eternity. And by your offense, you may send them to hell. What do you do? What do you do? You're in a no-win predicament. What do you do? Let me tell you what Paul said. Don't eat the meat. Don't eat the meat. Folks, would you sink your teeth into that just for a moment? Pun intended. Sink your teeth into that for a second. Do you understand what Paul's saying? It's better to offend somebody unsaved than it is a Christian brother. Why, people? Why? I'm going to ruin your evening. You and I are family. In fact, the Bible even tells me that you and I fellowship at a deeper level than a man can with his wife outside of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is family. We're going to spend eternity together. Even Jesus himself said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if ye have love for the unsaved." Is that what it says? No. One for each other. This is family. You let that get a hold of your heart, people. And the next time you walk into this auditorium, maybe you'll be a little bit more aggressive about being friendly. You let this get a hold of your heart. And teenagers, maybe you'll be a little less quick to criticize a Christian brother because they don't dribble a stupid basketball as well as you do. Or they don't dress quite as nicely as you do. Or they don't get as high a grades as you do. You watch it. You're dealing with God's children. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that this melody right here is a natural byproduct of that guy right there. You want to look like your Savior? You're going to adore Christian brothers. You're just going to adore them. You want to get together. And by the way, folks, when you stay away from church, you offend that guy right there. You offend, and you're going to be held accountable. You offend the people you're sitting around. This is family. This is dear, or should be, than your blood relatives who are unsaved. This is family. That's what that guy is all about right there. You be careful how you treat each other. All right, so gentlemen, stand, would you please? I'm out of time, and I got one more melody to go, and Pastor's going to be you, so get ready, okay? So, here we are. Boom! I'm saved! I get it! Okay, I understand now! From that moment on, I'm adding to my faith. Make up your mind. I add to virtue. Stay hungry. I add to knowledge. Get a grip on your appetite. Get a grip on your passions. Young people, that includes you. Get a grip. Grow up and get a grip. I'm going to want to quit, so I add to temperance. Don't quit. Do right till the stars fall. I add to patience. I want to look like you. And because I look like you, I want to add to godliness. Let's do coffee. I love Christians. Let's have another potluck. I love Christians. Hope your best friends are Christians. By the way, this is free. That's why, young people, marry a Christian. He, she is going to be your best friend. And you're not going to have the connect that you will with somebody unsaved. Marry a Christian. Marry a Christian. Okay? So, gentlemen, sit down. Melody number 7. Pastor, please come. Would you come and stand right here, Pastor? Would you please? I always let the pastor of the church be Melody number 7 because you are the icing on the cake.
Icing?
The icing on the cake, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, your King James Bible uses the word charity. Would you please let me change that? Because the same word, the exact same word is translated elsewhere in your King James Bible for the word love. So let's use love. Let me tell you what this guy means right here. First of all, let me show you what this word does not mean. Here's what it does not mean. That is not love. There's nothing wrong with a hug. There's nothing wrong with a display of affection like that. That's not my point. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not love. And young ladies, I want you to hear me because you've been lied to by Hollywood. I am going to make a statement that if you're paying attention and you've got gray matter up here, it's going to shock you. Love has nothing to do with romance.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Love has nothing to do with romance. Nothing. Folks, love is all about you making up your mind. Love is always a conscious decision. You never, ever, 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 ever fall in love. That is Hollywood. You're being lied to. Oh, sure, you fall into lust. But lust is not love. Let me tell you what love is. I have a pastor friend up in Hartford, Connecticut, that always tells his congregation when it comes to that melody, he always tells his congregation this. He says, congregation, you can serve without loving, but you can't love without serving. Love is you giving people. Give. It has nothing to do with feeling. It has nothing to do with emotion. It has everything to do with what are you doing. It's an action melody. Let me illustrate. A couple of years ago, my little wife and I and my son went to a restaurant. And this has happened a couple of times. This has not just happened once in my life. But we went to a restaurant called Fats. Are you familiar with Fats? Do you have Fats here in Virginia? Okay, it's F-A-T-Z. It's like a Fridays or a Chili's or an Applebee's. It's really a nice restaurant. And we were sitting at this Fats. It was a Saturday afternoon. We were there for lunch. And up to our table came bebopping a little waitress. I'm going to guess she was in her early 20s. And no sooner did she start talking when I realized this was going to be fun. This was one of those rare times when you got a waitress with personality. And she came up and she said, hello, my name is Wendy, and I'm going to be your waitress. And what can I bring you to drink? And I said, Wendy, my name is Mike, and this is Lori, and this is Drew. She said, hi, Mike. Hi, Lori. Hi, Drew. What can I bring you guys to drink? I said, Wendy, I would like 8 Coca-Colas with cherries. She took a step back and she said, 8 Cokes, Mike? 8? I said, yes, please. I said, Wendy, did you ever hear about the guy that drank 8 Coca-Colas? She said, no. I said, he burped 7 up. No. Some of you will get that tomorrow. But Wendy was sharp. And she immediately, that's good, Mike. I like that. I heard her telling at another table 2 minutes later. But folks, Wendy and I hit it off. She liked us. And before I go a step further with this illustration, let me just make sure you folks understand something. I'm not hitting on her. I'm not hitting on her. I'm going to do something I always do. I'm going to leave a track. And I want her to read it. I want her to know that Christians can be fun. Christians can be friendly. Christians can have a sense of humor. Christians don't take themselves too seriously. Boy, what a breath of fresh air it is to meet a Christian like that. Amen? And folks, it worked, but I'm way ahead of myself. Well, folks, let me tell you what happened. Wendy liked us. She really did. And she gave us great service. I don't know that I've ever had a better waitress. I mean, she was just on it. And I even got a free dessert out of the whole deal. It pays to be obnoxious. And but my question, and folks, what I'm going to leave a track. And when we left that restaurant, I looked back, and she was reading that track. I saw her back by the ladies' room reading that track. It helps, too, to leave a good tip. I had a waitress tell me here recently she hates working on Sundays because Christians don't tip, you tightwads. Tip. If you don't tip, please don't leave a track. Well, folks, I want to ask you a question, and I need to hurry. I'm well aware of the time. Let me ask you a question. Would you ponder this? Did Wendy give us great service because she loved us? Did she give us great service because she loved us? No. Why did she give such good service? Why? She wants a good tip. That's all. But yet, right across the table from me was another young lady who waits on me hand and foot like no other woman has ever waited for on me in my life. Why does she do it? She has made up her mind, I'm going to serve this idiot. She loves me. Ladies and gentlemen, the number one commandment in your life is to love the Lord thy God. Has nothing to do with feeling. It doesn't mean as you think about him, you get all goose pimply. That's not love. What are you doing for him? I don't care about feeling. I don't care how you feel. What are you doing? What have you done today that proves you love God? That's the issue. And the second greatest commandment, to love thy neighbor. And who's thy neighbor? The Pharisees asked Jesus that. Who's our neighbor? And what story did he launch into? The Good Samaritan, exactly. To whoever you see, whoever you're around that has a need, that's love. So, gentlemen, would you please stand? All right? One last time, congregation, are you ready? Are you ready? Here we are. I'm you. I get saved. You want to say it with me? Excellent. All right. I'm adding to my faith. Make up your mind. I add to virtue. Stay hungry. I add to knowledge. Get a grip. Control yourself. I add to temperance. Don't quit. These guys are hard, but don't quit. I'm going to add to patience. I want to look like you. I want to have a good testimony. I want to be your representative. I add to godliness. Love Christians. Want to be around Christians. I love Christians. And I add to brotherly kindness. How can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? What can I do? Now, people, in closing, I want you to look at what's up there. There you are. There you are. That's your choir. You're the choir leader. That's your choir. Commanded. Now, let me tell you what Peter's done to you, folks. Let me tell you what he's done to you. What Peter has done in these seven melodies is he has summarized the entire Bible. Everything you can think of Christianity, all the doctrine you know, is summarized right there by a man who knows he's about to die. And he's reminding you, church, whenever you people get together, keep reminding each other of these things. And if you're right with God, it's going to stir you. And folks, I cannot say strong enough. You're the one. Your pastor can't do this for you. Your wife can't do this for you. Your husband, your parents can't do you this for you. It's all you. And remember what verses 1 through 4 said? You are gifted. There's nobody in here who has an excuse why you shouldn't be a beautifully sounding, seven melody choir in life.